live.
Oh, no video.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted me to play that video.
I did. Well, I figured, I thought you'd either play the Twins one or you would open with the
sponsor. I'll play the Twins one real quick. Hold on.
I didn't watch that whole video through. I had no service today, so I have no idea what you're giving us.
Okay, it's funny. I cut out the one part that had swear words.
Okay.
And there's one line where everyone will understand why I chose this.
So. Okay, Rob chose this one. I had nothing to do with the guy.
What? Do you have a twin?
No. What's your name?
I'm Katie.
Were you adopted in San Bernardino, California?
Yeah.
Babe, I literally think that you guys are twins.
We could be.
You guys are literally spitting image. We should do a trip.
We're going. I booked the flight. They're ready.
What?
Does she like wear SPF 3000?
Does she hate flowers?
Yep. Does your girlfriend know how to drive?
All right. There we go. Oh, man. Sorry, guys. Got to spit my zen out. I got a strange text from my parish that said, your child's $75 sacrament fee, your child's $75 confirmation sacrament fee is due. So I tweeted that out asking, is this simony? Now, I will say it was probably just poorly worded, right? It's a registration fee and stuff like that.
Registration fee for what, though?
Like, the,
did they provide anything?
The books and stuff, but I paid for all that. At the like they charge you for the catechism class, right? Like to
right.
They charge, so I paid a couple hundred at the beginning of the year. They let me teach my kids at home, and then but I guess they give them a robe. You know, you do have to pay staff and stuff.
But your daughter didn't go to, he was catechized at home.
At home, but we are going tomorrow for her to make her confirmation. So they give her a robe and there is staff that they have to pay. And so, I mean, I don't mind. It just seemed a little poorly worded to me. You guys have the best music as your opening. What? That's funny.
Does your parish have a menu for indulgences as well, too?
No, wait, well, I'm a cradle Catholic, of course. Cradle Catholics still can buy indulgences.
Yeah, is what we're talking about music?
Yeah, I was thinking we should do a new intro.
It's been a while.
Like, I was thinking it's time for a new intro, but I guess people still do enjoy that song. We have, should we wait for Nick?
I don't know. It depends on how long he's going to be.
He says,
I mean, they say you should play messages from your sponsors within the first 5 minutes, right?
All right. Let's play the message from this.
Okay. So guys, we have a new sponsor. So we're going to play a message from our sponsor for this episode. Please consider supporting.
Hi. Have you or a loved one been exposed to traditional Catholicism?
I can't watch myself.
Is hearing the Our Father in Latin harmed your soul? Have you heard a sermon by Father Isaac or Father Ripperger? Well, we at Catholics in Communion can help. We're hosting a Trad Recovery Conference this coming July, where we will teach you to forget the St. Michael's Prayer. Free yourself from the brown scapular, hanging like a millstone around your neck.
That's a good line.
That was a good line.
And taught to play the tambourine to John Michael Talbot.
John Michael Talbot.
Call us now at 279-73-AVOID, and we'll have a deaconess contact you back as soon as possible. Spots are going fast. Call now. Tickets start at $7.99.
So that was supposed to be $799 to be like how like absurd they're ticketing this thing. But everybody pointed out it should have been $666. I did miss that one.
You missed a chance there for sure.
So I got a phone call today. I'm not going to say from who, but from somebody speaking at the conference. And they were not happy about it. It was meant because they're charging $400 per ticket, and I was trying to say $799, like trying to just pick an outlandish number.
I mean,
like,
anyone who's been at any of these conferences would know that it was $799 because they're all expensive for the
most. Yeah, they are. The cheapest one was the Catholic priest one, but the voicemail number I gave out is a legitimate voicemail. It is the Avoiding Babylon voicemail, and people did leave messages to the Trad Recovery line because they wanted to get some help with their traditional exposure. Wait, we gotta address this. He's saying, I hope you didn't apologize. No, I didn't apologize. Well, I apologized personally, I said, dude, if I knew you were involved in this, I would have never, you know, I would never intentionally hurt your feelings. But I have to be honest, like, the messaging of this thing is just begging to be made fun of. Like, how can you call it Catholics in Communion, trad recovery, if you've ever experienced anything? Like, it was presented as if it's an Alcoholics Anonymous ad, right? With Michael Waffman's face on the front of it. Like, it was from the second...
I mean, 90% of people thought it was parody.
Right. So the second I saw it, I texted Rob and I go, I am making a commercial about this. This was at like 12 in the afternoon. I texted him. I'm like, dude, I'm making a commercial.
And I usually am the guy that says, no, that's... No, don't do that. And I was like, yes, genius.
Yeah, so I send them like a rough draft. I text Rob a rough draft. I'm like, I'm thinking something like this. So I texted Enoch first. I'm like, Enoch, I want a little help with this. And Enoch was thinking of going the opposite route. Let me see what Enoch
going saying. The opposite route. What's the opposite
but
route?
He actually, you know what, I can't say that because he doesn't want to be mixed up in this, because he doesn't... never mind, I won't say what he said. I was gonna play his message. So he was saying to come at it from the addiction aspect, right? Like Taylor Marshall did. Hello, my name is Taylor. I was first introduced.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Where I was like, no. I want to come at it as if I'm making a commercial for the conference. And I want to present it as that, because everybody did the Taylor route. Everybody. Patrick Coffin, everybody went the Taylor route, where they were like, hello, my name is Anthony. I have been exposed, you know, and I knew everybody was going to go that route. So I'm like, no, I want to come at it.
Usually I have to tell Anthony, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. No, this time I was like, go for it.
So now we do have an inside guy that managed to get inside the website. And he got
speaking of, we're ready.
Okay. So that's the other thing. Look, guys. All right. So I think we're going to have to do this. I don't want to do it through super chats though. I think we're going to maybe just do it through our either Cash App or PayPal or something, so that because YouTube will take 30%. I want to do the man on the streets.
We still have the tip jar.
The tip jar. Right. So I want to do the man on the street stuff, and the setup we got to get is about $700. Right, Rob?
Yeah. I have one GoPro set up, but that's just for one of us. So
you texted me like the link for the whole thing, the link for the whole set, because I need a GoPro, mic set up.
GoPro Hero 12 Black Creator Edition. It's, yeah.
It has everything. Like, it'll have a microphone. It'll have everything.
Yeah. Same. It has a little microphone, the little flash. It'll have a little carry stand that turns into chart. It's everything.
Okay.
Everything you need.
I want to do this, but I have to also be respectful to the priests at the parish, right? So we're going to ask you guys for help on like what questions I should. It can't be trying to sandbag people, right? I kind of think we should go the route of asking people what they think of the synod, what they think of Pope Francis, and what they think of Catholic teaching. So like, what do you think on birth control? What do you think? Like do a Pew research study, essentially.
Yeah, with the average Catholic.
With the average Catholic, and then do it the difference in a Latin Mass community, a Novus Ordo community, and then an SSPX community. Like, I'll go to the St. Michael's SSPX, and I'll have to ask Father first. Like, I'm not going to disrespect anybody's parish. I'm going to, you know.
Like you said, it's not to sandbag anyone.
No. And I'll show the priest the questions beforehand. So it can't be anything crazy. I just really want to see. I mean, I'll make it funny. Right. Like I'll be humorous through it. I'll try to get laughs out of people with things like that. To be honest, AB was the only locals I found where that is such an awesome thing, Stephen. Thank you. I didn't apologize. I say stop apologizing
and build your lights.
He wants to fix my studio.
Oh, yeah.
So Thursday texts me, goes, Anthony, when you're making a short, you can't aim the camera up at your nose. People don't want to see what's up your nose. So the thing is, I wrote this whole script and I took this camera and I put it on top of my iPad. So I'm sitting right in this chair and I put it on top of my iPad so that I could look at the camera while I'm reading. It was like a teleprompter. So I mean, you could see my eyes are reading, but it usually, like, I'm looking at the computer screen. It doesn't look like I'm not looking at the camera because I'm looking at you. It's an awkward thing to have just done it and stare at the camera like this without having the words in front of me. So I had to figure something out. It worked though. Yeah, that's all I said. Just the angle. It definitely wasn't a list like fourth. There's these little wise ass dude.
It's awesome because I've been telling you these things for 2 years.
I know. Listen to me. People appreciate the unprofessionalism that comes with our show.
I know we've been telling ourselves that, but we can't prove it.
Okay. So the other thing is, when we go into critiquing the documentary, there's something I do want to take into account. A couple of things, actually. One is that Cameron has snubbed us. Right? Like we've been reaching out to Cameron for an interview since episode 2, and we've been getting snubbed. All right.
I'd like to say he can keep unbiased, but come on, guys. We know him better than that.
So, Cameron, I know we were only like 2,000 subs back then, but you always got to watch out for who's coming up in the ranks. Well, we had Frat on already. I'd have Thursday on, though.
We have had Thursday on.
He's been on for trivia, but we'll just get him on the, you know, shoot the breeze one night. So, Cameron blew us off. So, that's why I kind of feel okay giving the critique I'm going to give tonight. But at the same time, this has been Cameron's life's work for 5 years, right? Like, this has legit been this guy's life for 5 years. So I want to handle it with care. I don't want to just trash it because he blew us off.
Also, don't forget our friend Jake Tate.
Jake Tate, who I do love. Right. So the thing is, I want to be very careful. This has been his life's work. So I don't want to just trash him for the sake of trashing him. What I do think is this is the best Catholic content coming out, right? So despite the critiques I'm going to give tonight, which I do have many, despite that, I don't think anybody is doing anything on the level of production and storytelling like Cameron is.
Yeah.
And his whole team, Daniel and Jake.
Yeah, all of them.
So I do have several issues with his approach in this. I'm not quite sure there was some things I wish he would have done instead. I'm going to talk about why I don't think it's going to have the same mass appeal as the first one. There's definitely some things in it, but I do think this guy has put his life into this. And I think he's also dealing with a minefield, right?
It's called the liturgy war for a reason.
It's a liturgy war. You're dealing with a minefield. There's no way you're going to please everybody, right? There's just no way. And I think you have the Father Jackson situation looming over episode 1, right? Like, Father Jackson was a very big part of episode 1.
Rewatch episode 1 last night, and they did a good job re-editing it.
Re-editing it, right? Yeah. Because Father Jackson, despite the despicable things he did, it was a great interview in that documentary. It wasn't an easy decision to cut him out until everything came out proven that it was true. So you have that looming over. Then episode 2 comes out, and I'm not apologizing. I want to be delicate.
It's like the third time you've been told to stop apologizing tonight. They just like brash Italian Anthony telling it how it is.
Don't worry, you're going to get it. Look, when people criticize me, it hurts. Like, I don't care how tough you are and how much you pretend you don't care.
All the messages about how you don't let anyone
talk. It's not easy to be piled on. So and yes, I do think Mass of the Ages has done a good job. And I do think they are going to be our best hope for good content going forward, right? There's just some things that so episode 2 comes out and you get the Catholic in communion crowd. Is this how Anthony acts around his wife? No. I never give my wife any excuses. All right. Well, you guys just let me get to it. You're pre-apologizing.
He's apologizing for apologizing, guys.
Where's Nicholas? I need Nicholas here. All right. So
as a Minnesotan, this is hilarious.
All right. So let me talk. So episode 2 comes out and he gets lambasted by the Catholics in communion.
You might want to apologize more, dude.
Now, Daniel, get out of our chat. I can't do this with you in here. Listen, you too, bro. Why aren't you doing interviews with us? I don't understand. You guys thought you were too good for us, and now it's time to pay the piper. So episode two comes out and they get lambasted by the Catholics in Communion crowd, right? By the trad recovery crowd, because it was too harsh. And it was fomenting schism and things like that. So I think that Daniel, you and I are gonna have to have a conversation, I think. You want to come on? You want to have him on? No. No.
Is that what he meant by say it to my face?
Yeah, probably.
We could have him on right now.
All right, Daniel, you want to come on? We'll see if he wants to come on. Okay. So, because then that'll be good. Because then maybe he'll give us a little back and forth. I want him to be able to defend some of these positions and stuff. So yeah, so they get lambasted by the normie crowd, and they're fomenting schism. So this episode, you don't see the Taylor Marshalls in it. You don't see the Father Nixes in it. But you see Trent Horn in there. You see more of the normie guys, right? And I think they used.
It's pretty clear that they use portions of those same interviews with, like, I don't know if it was Trent, but definitely Patrick Madrid and Scott Hahn in episode one to replace the items from James Jackson.
Oh, see, I haven't watched the re-edit yet. So, so you see a shift in position, right? So Tim Flanders is in there. Now you have to put, these are all people. Like, I love Trent. I love Patrick Madrid. This has nothing to do with criticism of these guys. I love these guys.
The Tim Gordon jump scare. It was surprising. He was like, whoa, there's Tim.
My issue with it would be, which I wish Nicholas was here for this. And Nicholas is coming on, and I know Nick is going to come at this from a very SSPX angle. I'm sure that's where his criticisms are going to lie. Mine aren't. Mine are in the story they told, because what are we trying to do with this documentary?
My criticism is that I'm not sure what story they were telling, to be honest.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. So what are we doing with the documentary? What are we trying to do with the Latin Mass documentary? I would think the best thing to be doing is trying to draw the youth in, right? Because I think the future of the Latin Mass movement lies in getting young people into it, so that as this older...
Speaking of young people, here's our
Zoom. There he is. Thank goodness we got our Gen Z-er here. So as this older generation passes away, we want the younger generation to be into this culture shift, anti-modernity movement, because it's not just about the liturgy. Nick is spending way too much time with his alleged email. You need to address this, Anthony. So before we jump in, should we play our voicemails? Because Nicholas made us wait for the voicemails.
Okay. Yeah.
But wait, guys, you tell us. I mean, we can continue with this, but we do have voicemails from, like, I hate being all over the place, but
did you guys get hate mail? Hate mail voicemail?
No. In the commercial I made, I left a voicemail number for people to call if they've been exposed to traditionalism.
Bro, I need that helpline so bad.
All right, let's hear the calls from the helpline.
Okay. Let me pull them up here.
I didn't know you actually set up like a legit.
That's our voicemail. So guys, you can listen. 273-279, Rob? 279-73 avoid.
279, yeah, exactly.
279-73 avoid. You can leave us a voicemail on anything. And if it's funny, we'll play it.
I know what I'm doing at 3 a.m.
If you guys could call up and criticize us. You could call up and make show suggestions. You could literally call this number for anything. And if it's worth playing on the show, we'll play it on the show. It's similar to our go on Apple iTunes reviews and leave us a terrible review with 5 stars. And we haven't read those in a while either. We do have some of those. So maybe we'll, towards the end of the show, we'll read some of our reviews. So
ready?
Let's play a voicemail.
Okay. Hopefully it's loud enough.
And I haven't heard these, by the way.
I'm gonna set it to the highest volume. If it's too loud, let me know.
Rob, Anthony, this is Proximus from New York. Just finished listening to your infomercial, Anthony, and I have a couple questions. Question number one, how many takes did you have to do to get that just right?
Sorry,
beautiful.
All right. That is a good question.
That's a good question. So Rob will tell you there were three takes.
Yep.
Okay. So I set it up. The first one, I started reading and I just fumbled Father Isaac, Father Ripperger. Like I just fumbled it. The second one, when I got to the millstone line, I just started laughing. Like I just started laughing. Like I couldn't. And then the third one, I'm like, and meanwhile, I deleted them immediately because I knew Rob would have them if I didn't. So like
they're there.
No, they don't know. It says they're there, but I deleted the recordings.
Oh, darn it.
I deleted the recordings because I didn't want you having a
blooper reel. Oh, you're right. That, come on, man.
I didn't want Rob to have a blooper reel on me. So it was three takes. The third time was a charm and I got through it without cracking a smile. And that was it. All right. Play the rest.
I don't know if I can.
Question number two. Yep. Who's your deaconess hook? Fellas, thanks for everything you do. Take care.
What a paisan, right?
Rob,
hey, thanks for everything you do.
hold on, Ant. Here's some advice on the music.
Okay. I thought you guys would just want a little change up.
I honestly thought so, too. Maybe I'll make a different new video. One for like the off-the-rail ones.
Yeah. Or the Father Nick's videos. Those, or the that Father would be Nick's, good. Yeah, like the Faith and Film should have its own intro, I think.
I still like my latest trivia intro the best.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That I haven't was seen good. It
in a while, but that was
we'll good. See it next week, right?
Yeah, we have to set that up. I forgot. Yep. We have to reach out to everybody and make sure they can make it. So
You're bringing trivia back for?
Yeah, you're coming on.
Hey, let's go.
You weren't asked, but you're coming on.
So I can win on. A third time. Let's go.
Well, we got Joshua Charles and Michael Hitchborn coming on. I don't know.
It's going to be some old school real Babylon versus new school.
Finally, some yeah. All right.
So they're going to be on your team, actually, Nick.
Hey, let's go.
Okay, here's the next one.
Hello, this message is for Deaconess Laura Van Luther. My name is Frank, and I'm a traditionalholic. I grew up in the Novus Ordo and, you know, only going on Easter and Christmas Eve like a normal person. My parents, they were so proud when I graduated high school proclaiming evolution and feminism and that it's okay to be gay. But years later, I found out that the mass changed in the 60s and 70s and priests were driving their motorcycles up the aisle to the altar and dressing like clowns. And after that second Vagin thingy, you know, it just tempted me to try the TLM. I told myself just once, you know, what could be the harm? But when I went to my first one, the Gregorian chant, it hit my veins harder than fentanyl. I cried and I laughed and I couldn't stop myself from going again and again and again, chasing that dragon. Then I found Annoying Babylon with Tony and Bob. And when Hitchborn and Josh Charles were on, I was giddy like a schoolgirl. Then I started going to Byzantine Divine Liturgy just to help me bring me off that high. And I couldn't stop. It was terrible. And, you know, seeing all those men who had never been henpecked and women happy with lots of children, it just drove me to my rock bottom. And then one day I saw St. Michael, not the angel, Michael Lofton. Wrapping in his grandma's house. I knew I needed help. Deaconess Laura, please help me.
Okay, wait a minute. First, I'm so glad I didn't listen to that ahead of time.
Oh like, my gosh, that was way better than I thought.
I'm so glad I went into that raw.
Absolutely.
Second off, audience, take notes. That's how you leave a funny voicemail, okay?
Absolute king. I don't even care what comes after this. You can't top that.
I wish we could give him credit. I don't know who it was.
I do.
You do?
I'm not going to say his name, just in case he doesn't want that out there, but he is the one that actually helped set us up with the My Catholic Will folks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
So,
props to you.
Yeah, not definitely. Don't. Now that you said, why would you say that?
Well, actually, that's worse, isn't it? That's way worse. Oh, no.
You just blew his whole business up. Use code AB20, guys. MyCatholicWill.com.
They probably have deactivated it by now.
Oh, brother.
I cannot believe you just did that, Rob. Don't worry, guys, go to mycatholicwill.com and use code AB20 and you will get 20% discount.
Okay. I put a marker so I can actually edit that out for real later.
No, he'll be happy with it. Don't worry.
It'd be the best ad he'd probably ever get.
At least it didn't show his phone number this time, guys.
Tony and Bob said, we did it to Darren. I mean, okay. So back to the documentary. So, my thing is that I want to bring young people to the Latin Mass, and it's the reason why is because when all this other stuff collapses, which it's going to collapse, I want them to have a foundation, a culture, and I want them to have a cult to worship, right? Like creed, code, cult, the what you believe, how you live it out, and how you worship. Like the creed is what you believe, the code is how you live, and the cult is how you worship. I want to have something solid for the younger generation to stand on after this generation that's in there fades away. Because no matter how, it may take time, but there's no way the Novus Ordo as it stands today survives. There just isn't. So I think instead of featuring, look, I thought it was very endearing showing the mothers and grandmothers walk. Like I thought that was a beautiful story, but I would have loved to see more of the younger trad movement in America too, and maybe see what it looked like. Because the highlights of the film to me were definitely the Africa visit. Like that, I thought that was beautiful. So despite me saying I would have loved to see more of America, I thought Leah Darrow, which I don't know, Kennedy did the same thing. He didn't remember her new last name, Leah Darrow, and her husband. I thought they were great. Leah Darrow, who was a former model, right? And one of my favorite things was the bookend of episode one, where the widow from episode one gets married at the end of episode three. I wish we had
seen more of that or heard more of that story.
Well, I think that went over a lot of people's head.
Yeah, I'm like, she looks familiar. But then she looked
familiar, but you didn't. Like, you don't realize that that's a bookend. So the girl from episode one who was a widow, which look, okay, so episode three is not as good as episode one, but it's better than episode two. And I think even Cameron will say that, right? Like I'm pretty sure they set a very high bar with episode one. It was,
and for me, that's because episode one was what they do best. It's showing the beauty, the transcendence, and the personal stories of those involved. Like those guys are amazing at that. Now for me, the kind of history and theology stuff falls a little flat, and maybe that's because I'm not the target audience, right? I am a trad. I have learned all of that, so I understand I'm not the target audience, but I don't know if it adds much to the beauty and personal stories that they have.
So I want to pop in there. So I watched this with my wife and daughters. Now, me, I'm a nerd with this stuff and I want to see it. But I noticed after the scenes in Africa were over and they kind of went back to the teaching element, like yeah. I watched my kids get bored. Right? And these are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched them start to get bored. So I think they should have been a little stricter in the cutting room. And I think they should have cut some time down on it. Just because I want this thing to get to a massive audience. I don't think it's going to have the same appeal of the first one. I also know that they chose a very different media route to promote it. Like the promotion route they chose was very different. The first film came out, Cameron was on every single podcast that's dealing in this realm. This one came out, I didn't see him anywhere.
Yeah.
The only thing I heard about this documentary was, I'm going to the premiere, from a guy like Eric Sammons and a guy like Tim. Like a couple of guys tweeted out, hey, I'm at the premiere. That was it. There was no media promotion of this documentary, right? Like we're doing more promotion for it right now, critiquing it, than they did it for themselves, which is a strange thing.
Do you want to talk about the other subject we were going to talk about?
Oh yeah. Okay. So now Mark has Trevor on,
and I know Mark being from Tex Cathedra.
If you guys
don't follow them, go subscribe.
Go subscribe to Tex Cathedra. Mark has Trevor on, and Trevor is
Alcorn from Tridentine Brewing. From
Tridentine Brewery. I'm sorry, I'm terrible. And I know Trevor is like coming on to praise the documentary, and Mark is just in I hate the hierarchy mode. I'm watching Trevor. I'm watching Trevor like, oh my God, what is Mark doing right now? Mark's like, I'm so tired of them beating us down. Oh, it was pretty funny.
That is funny.
Poor Trevor. So, all right. So I will give you guys a little bit of time to say some of the things you think, and I will try to play off of some of the things you guys think. Yeah, Mark was just in like, I need to vent about the hierarchy. And Trevor was like, oh, I love the documentary.
You just have those days sometimes, you know?
Yeah. All right, yeah. Nick, let's hear the based Gen Z SSPX hater take. Let's hear it, dude.
Yeah, honestly, so I would say that my reviews was pretty mixed. I watched it live. Aesthetically, top notch. I don't really think that you can get much better than the finale, especially was, I don't think you could have improved it. Like that epic score really kicking in.
Bishop Sheen.
Yeah. And then like the Bishop Sheen was so good. I really appreciated Bishop Sheen because there are some days where I'll just be praying. And when I get like really raw with God, I'll just sometimes be like, I don't even know.
When you pull a Mark Robertson with God.
Yeah, sure, exactly. What I just will go like, God, you know, some like, why do you allow this to happen? Almost kind of like, why do you allow evil to happen? That kind of conversation. You know, it's more from like my heart than my head. And it was like that scene was just so good in answering those questions. So that was epic. Seeing the priest give his mother communion during that final scene was epic. Absolutely great. So that was all good. Overall, though, and then when it came to the SSPX, I honestly thought that it was just postponing, like Kennedy said, the elephant in the room, which is from 1970 till 1988, the trad, the traditionalist was Marcel Lefebvre. He is the founding father. He's the OG. He's the Chad. He's the king. He is the traditionalist. They spent more time on the Agatha Christie indult than Archbishop Lefebvre. And so to me,
it was a very small indult. Like
yeah, it was very small. Like they spent more time on 84, the 84 indult, which I was like, well, why do you think that exists? It was a political cutoff of it, the SSPA. So like, I mean, to me, again, this is not bashing MOC, you know, I almost said MOC. What am I doing? The math of the ages.
You already did that video, Nick.
Yeah, I'll do that video later. Math of the ages, I just felt like real. I know that, you know, they worked with them. And so there's some behind the scenes stuff that we obviously don't know. But overall, I did think it focused way more on the Ecclesia Dei side. And this leads me into like my final thing, which I would say about the show, which would be while I thought it was really good aesthetically, it really didn't, I would say, address some of the more bigger elephants in the room, like say episode 2 did. So for me, episode 2 is my favorite, but that's just because I'm a nerd. And so it like, you know, answered all of those types of questions and stuff.
I will say the reason I wasn't super excited about episode 2 because I knew everything like that. It was just going over stuff I had already. Like you got to realize when that comes out, I'm like, I'm neck deep in the council and like learning all this stuff already.
I think episode 2 would have been great as like a standalone resource piece, not as a part of the trilogy series. And I don't even know if you need a trilogy. I think honestly, and once again, this is from my perspective of them doing great with beauty and personal stories. Do a super cut of all of those aspects of the three and combine them into one that just blows people.
Get rid of all the teaching stuff and just give us one super cut of the trilogy with just all of the beauty. So look, my favorite parts of this documentary was the beginning where like showing the devastation.
Dude, right? That brought that tears first
5 minutes destroyed me. I mean, like, it was powerful.
When that lady, it was so powerful. He asks, like, do you know what these stained glass images represent? And she's like, I don't know. I'm not religious. Maybe a baptism. I was just like,
yeah,
goodness. But it's so true. Like, France is in full atheist apostate mode.
So the other thing I'll say about Lefebvre, there is no scenario where we have the traditional mass today. So without Archbishop Lefebvre.
100%. Or the traditional like formation of priests, a la the traditional moral theology, dogmatic theology, devotions, all of these things. Like if it wasn't for Lefebvre, people can say, oh, well, you know, it was at this monastery or there's this small indult locally. I'm like, okay, you can find these minuscule examples here, there, and everywhere.
Of Lefebvre. I don't care what your opinion is on the society. You cannot. Like Tim Gordon doesn't agree with that. And I'm like, dude, I don't see how you can. You're 100% right. It's the elephant in the room right now. I will also say I think the society didn't really take part in this documentary and they're dealing with a minefield there. Right. So it's like, well, we have to address the Lefebvre question. So they tried to address it without starting a war because it's the liturgy wars and you address the Lefebvre situation and all of a sudden you have guys from Catholics in Communion flipping out, making like, you know what I mean? Because I had the conversation I had today with the person that's speaking there. I know that they had influence on the direction that was chosen with this episode, and the episode was chose. They chose to go. It had nothing to do with anything. I think it seemed like they were trying to make this documentary for Francis, hoping to tug at Francis's heartstrings. I think that's what they were going for.
Agreed. Yeah. To me, it was kind of just, it's respectable in one sense. It's just like, hey, Holy Father, like, look at this great beauty. Look at what it's doing to these families' lives. That's all great. Right. But again, like it's like I said on one of my last episodes of my show, I said, the issue is it's not an issue of aesthetics for most trads. It's like, hey, let's get this, like the mass reflects the doctrine and there's all these doctrinal problems going on. And so what are we going to do with that? And so, yeah, I think you're right.
So I think that's what they were going for, right? They're going for, we want to present this beautiful thing. My only issue with that is Francis isn't watching your documentary.
And even if he,
I can find a way into the Vatican, boys.
He also got 1,500 letters given to him by a grandma and then still put out the rescript. So is this going to work? If that didn't work?
Well, regardless, I understand the concept of, hey, let's present this movement. Because look, the rescript comes out and what we learned in the rescript is that this isn't really about the liturgy itself. This is about the people that attend the liturgy, right? So, so you had this whole thing happens before they make episode 3, where Cameron comes out and he says, hey, does the traditional movement need a rebrand? Do you remember the controversy that caused?
No, it caused a lot of controversy because it basically, like, what it does is it's like calls into question all the work that we've done since.
And I think he was misinterpreted in that.
I agree. I'm
trying to be fair to him here. Right?
I was like, actually,
despite him blowing our show off, I'm trying to be fair to the man here, even though he doesn't deserve it from me.
Anthony doesn't mean what he means, y'all. Please come on the show.
So the thing is, I'm he's not invited anymore. I'll take Daniel on. Daniel's in the
chat. We got
chat.
Dan and Jake. Who needs Cameron?
You kidding me? Those days are over. I do think he was misunderstood there. I think there is an element in the trad movement that is like, holy cow, man. Like, if you say the wrong thing, you get jumped on, right? It's like
100%.
Like you have to understand.
That's a human issue. That's the thing. That's a human problem that's universal to every group.
Who's trad and theology, but attends the Novus Ordo out of necessity. Like, I get flack from both sides. I see it from both sides. I get the criticism that trads can be mean sometimes. I get it. I see it. But
and it's not
see it as much from the, like, because like Nick said, it's a people issue.
Well, you feel like you're being robbed because you have to drive 4 hours to go to a traditional Latin mass. It's insane, right? But
yeah, Francis literally owes me a lot of gas money.
So Biden and Francis.
Top of that, like, it's almost like there's no empathy from the trad movement where they're saying, dude, there's some people that are just being introduced to this stuff. Do you know how much baggage you have left over from first of all, some people are just converting, right? They're coming into the church and they find the traditional movement. And it's like, there's all these rules by the trads. It's like, you can't look at Leodaro's story, right? Their first time going to mass, they stumble in, the guy's wearing shorts and they get shunned. It's like, dude, you guys got to lighten up and understand this is where we are right now. There are new people coming in. Show a little bit of mercy to these people, man.
Like, would you rather have that guy in shorts still at the Novus Ordo?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have him at the TLM?
Exactly. And it's like, dude, I'm still new to this. I mean, how long have I been going? 5 years? You think you're revamping your entire life in 5 years? You're not. You're talking about redesigning the entire way you live. It's a paradigm shift on how you live your life.
Everything.
It literally is everything.
This isn't just about liturgy. This is like, okay, wow, there's so much to this. It's not just even the devotional life. It's about living a life of fasting and feasting and learning to live according to the liturgical calendar and all these different aspects that you have to give people time to come into. So I understand where Cameron's coming from with that. How does that apply to a guy who's been going for 5 years and still wears jeans to mass? I don't wear jeans. Yeah, maybe I do. I do. I'm not ever not going to. Not blue jeans, though.
Getting called out. That's because
black denim is so much better. I'm just giving you crap.
I don't have to tell you guys. So I've never worn a suit. It's not happening. Yeah, it is. It is. As the new guy at the TLM a year ago, they thought I was a Fed. Yeah, like that's all I'm saying. Like,
all right, fine, I didn't mean to
wear
that.
I mean, if that's the standard, I'll wear a suit to mass. I mean,
you bring a good point up, Anthony. But it's like you think about it, it's like if you have been basically told by your father, like, okay, you're in the family, but I'm just going to put you in timeout and like slap your wrist every 5 minutes and treat everybody else fine, including the kid who like publicly dissents from what you teach and teaches the exact opposite, you know, on a human level, like a psychological level, it's at least understandable. It doesn't make it right, but it's understandable that some people would be, you know.
So I'm going to use a reference upset, here, you know, that the trads are going to be pissed at, but it's like how the Dursleys treated Harry Potter.
Terrible. So true. So true.
Well, okay. So back to the documentary. So, I want to attract young people to this thing. That's my point, right? So there's supposed to be this little bit of a punk rock element to the Latin Mass. It's supposed to be like, hey, everything about this isn't just about just aesthetics. Everything about this is countercultural.
The man hates it. The Pope hates it. The FBI, everybody.
Yeah, dude, this is like being a trad is like the definition of the modern punk rock, because you're just... It is so countercultural. And I wish they would have showed a little bit more of that and not, because look, Trent is coming on our show soon, right? Like I have Trent booked to come back on with Joshua Charles. I can't wait till I get an opportunity to speak to Dr. Han. These are all people I really respect and love. And Anthony Supon. But they're not known to be in the trad movement at all. Like you think Trent Horn, you do not think trad movement. Like you just don't. Dr. Kwasniewski, you do. Mm-hmm. Right? And maybe Father Fessio or Fessio, is that his?
Well, he's not as well known, but like Taylor Marshall, but Dr. K, Kennedy Hall, everyone thinks of them as trad. But then like Scott Hahn, you're like, okay, you know, I'm thinking like 80s, 90s, JP2 guy, and then Trent Horn, Catholic Answers guy, you know. And so when you see them come on these documentaries, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Oh, Fessio's a reform of the reform guy. So, but that's exactly what they're going for, right? They're going for that
pipe dream,
which it is. I mean, you have to really
100%.
I mean, it is. I mean, the thing is, it's difficult to even.
Watch my series. That's the thing. Just like watch my series.
It's
like,
just difficult to even see how people could think that we're at that place. Like, it's just right. Okay, so he's not even trad. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying, right? So it's you're doing this documentary on traditional. Is it just about the liturgy and the aesthetics of the liturgy, or is it about traditional Catholicism?
Right, because they are two different. They're related, of course.
They're related. Yeah. Different.
Yeah, so Dan's in the chat, right? Here's some just off the top, really cool ideas. Interview the Harrisons for like liturgical living. You know, we all know who the Harrisons are because of, you know, the the problems with the little boy, but also, of course, their great apostolate, you know, like the Liturgy of the Home. So it's like
Liturgy of the Home. Yeah. If you guys don't have the Liturgy of the Home calendar, it is actually a phenomenal way to live the liturgical life. Like it tells you every feast day, every single thing. It's pretty awesome.
It's like, do that. Do here's another good idea. Like interview a priest about like a traditional priest who's been formed this way about like the confessional. Like, because their whole world is vastly different in moral theology from the average way that a diocesan priest learns. You know, talk about like the, you know, all kinds of stuff, devotions and dogma. And there's just so many avenues you could go down. Zing. Yeah. There's just so many ways, you know, and so they're really good. Yeah. The Harrisons I know have worked with them. And so that's really good.
Yeah. So, so I want to know how we're going to bring more young people. Like all I know is when
just tell them the flat out truth. See, that's the thing. Like I was so tempted today to just make a video called something like I'm done with like the mainstream Catholic system, because all the influencers, and I say this with all due respect to all of them, so this is not me bashing them, but like, I just feel like it's 110% cope and seethe mode. How can we just somehow pretend that this falling a ship bit of nonsense, this disaster.
He's talking about us too here, though, Rob. That's the best
like
part.
Entire ship that's completely falling apart, but we're pretending it's not falling apart. Or the few of us who acknowledge it's falling apart are just going to blame the trads, who have no power, no institutional influence, but yet we're going to blame them. Let's just cope and see them pretend that this entire thing is working, and then young people will like it. Well, that's not the truth. Islam is converting a lot of young men because they're challenging them when it comes to fasting, asceticism, and giving them a purpose, right? If the purpose that you see in the new mass world is how can we be a more ecumenical, open place where we'll only have discussions about how women can be in greater spheres of authority instead of talking about all the young men who feel completely abandoned, hyper-depressed, committing, you know, suicide on a large mass level.
Problem in the church right now. The church keeps reaching out to these people on the margins. They keep reaching out to women. What are you doing about the young men problem?
The church is doing the same thing the Democrat Party is doing. They're not looking at young men. They'll only focus on women. Look at the surveys right during the Synod. They were only asking, at least in my diocese, they were only asking questions about, and again, I say this with all due respect, but like minorities, about women. How can we be more inclusive to communities and things like that? There's myriads of young men at the traditional mass. Why? It's because it's calling them out. It's calling them higher. They want to be saints, but you're not going after them. Why are young men flocking to the Republican Party?
Okay, so this is my issue with the documentary, because who are you trying to attract? Are you trying to attract your typical Novus Ordo person who you like, oh, the trans ain't so bad, guys. We're not so bad. No, I want young men. I want young men. That's who I like. I'm so tired of us not looking out for young men. Like it's a lot of people get upset when I make my misogynistic jokes. I'm doing that on purpose because I want young men to find it funny. Like I'm sorry, ladies, if you're offended by my sarcasm.
With respect, Thursday, you guys have had a few on your show. I'm just going to say that.
Wait, what happened?
He says, I can't think of a single influencer that's blaming trads. I'm saying, yeah, I can think of a few influencers that have been on Pints with Aquinas. I can think of a few that just
Jeremiah is saying this is a fake narrative. I don't know what's a fake narrative. I'm saying I don't. Whatever is happening in the church right now, there is no one trying to go for young men. They're just not. Every single conversation we're having is about women deacons, and we're having conversations about how women need to have a greater voice in the church. We don't need more women's voices in the church. I'm sorry.
Do we really think masculine men are going to want to come to a church that, you know, has blessings of gay couples every Saturday afternoon or something?
Because that's gay.
Because it's gay.
I know what attracts me, right? And I think I'm a pretty average person. Like, I just... I need to go to church.
You're a person. I'll grant you that.
I'm a person. I'm not average.
No. You are a person.
It's Bishop Williamson era.
I'm not a resistance guy, but I appreciate the compliment.
Return to the Queen podcast. Women deacons is only the tip of the giant iceberg. Yeah, but if that's the conversation they're having, that's all I'm saying. Like, what conversations are we even having in the church? We're dealing with men who were in positions of authority who really are just oblivious to what's happening in the culture. They're totally oblivious to what's happening in the culture. We're dealing with the manosphere and the red pill movement. And these guys are trying to rope men into, no, don't get married. Just go and sleep with every single woman you could get your hands on. Throw them to the curb. Get 50 women under your belt. Then maybe you get married. Make sure you sign a prenup and make sure that one, like, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're up against. And you think 100%. You're going to attract them with, it's not guessing a blade. We're not blessing gay unions. It's just the couple. Nobody is attracted by that except leftists, and leftists aren't coming to church. They just want you to change your teaching, and they're not interested in the church itself.
Because they know it will destroy the church.
Exactly. Just think about it. It's like all the trainees at the St. Patrick's funeral that we talked about a few weeks ago. It's like none of those guys are actually going to go to mass. They showed up there to troll. They showed up there to blaspheme. They're not actually showing up there to amend their lives.
They didn't even care that it was the mass part. Was they stopped that part. They didn't care. They got to say what they wanted to say.
Exactly. So there could be like a cool film opportunity here. And I'm not like bashing masses ages. I'm giving advice. Cool tips and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, most of what we're saying is not about Mass of the Ages at right this minute.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
Interview some like ascetics, some like hermits and stuff who can, like, even if you don't show their face and stuff, but where they're really calling out like the good in men to rise up and fight against fleshly temptations, against gluttony, against lust and stuff like that. Make some really cool films like that. Put it out there, and it helps like deflect some of this cringe red pill nonsense.
We have to unwind what he's saying here. Blessing a gay union sounds like something Kim Naples would do.
Kidney. We're gonna start.
If I didn't know why he's doing that, I would say it must just be Canadian spelling.
So I feel like there was a shunning of trads in the trad documentary.
Well, once again, because it's not for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get that. And like, that's why I give 110% like benefit of the doubt. Like, overall, excellent three films. Like, especially whoever did the music, absolute G. You just did a fantastic job. And I honestly, like, Dan, you're in the chat. If you ever want to collab where I get to like learn for free some like filming techniques under you guys, would love to do it, because I'm just a filming nerd and want to actually learn how to do that stuff. But overall, like, it makes sense for a mainstream audience. So no one's going to be happy. But I do think in the future, you know, some of these issues will have to be realistically addressed in order for there to be a further dialogue, which I think you guys are poised to do. You landed in a good spot, right, where everyone's tuned in. Everyone's focused in on you, all the different groups. So now let's have like some, you know, conversation.
You need to be shunned more, Anthony. Dan's going to tell Cam to double down on the shunning.
It's the stink, Dan. Don't worry about it.
Here's the thing. It's not Dan, his kryptonite. If anything, Dan, it makes him stronger.
You would fit in well on this panel. I'll just. I just want.
New dialogue.
I want to help young men just come in and find something solid to stand on, and not, I don't want them to find mushy theology. I want them to find something that challenges them. I think that they're still planning future projects, right? And I think there are future projects where they're going to do like these short punchy things, like 10 minutes long, 20 minutes long. Like, I think there's so much potential in something like that to go viral and be like, holy cow, look at this thing. Like, there's potential for them to do little catechetical things on the Eucharist or Eucharistic miracles or just different. Like, Cameron has an eye for this genre. Like, the guy, he's very good at it. Daniel too. I don't know how much each one of you does in this whole thing. It just seems like whatever you guys are doing, you have an amazing ability to bring the technical aspect of it, the beauty, the aesthetics of it. And I think that there's so much potential. I just want to see more focus on challenging young men, bringing them to this, and more on traditional Catholicism and less solely focused on the aesthetics.
And they have the connections to do it. I mean, Harrison Butker, Michael Knowles, they can get the people in and do good interviews and get good content where they will reach young men. especially.
Exactly. Practicality would be really good, because that was one of the things I did feel like was lacking. Like, you get to the end of this three-part film, and this is the whole film that's talking about the crackdowns and stuff. And I'm like, okay, what do we practically do now about it, you know? And to me, the answer was kind of left a little bit flat. Maybe it was just the answer of kind of just, you know, let's kind of see what happens, watch and pray, if you will. Maybe that's the answer. But I think for especially a lot of guys, we're just thinking, what do we do? You know, like, it doesn't make sense to just be like, okay, let's just hope and pray that our mass doesn't get, like mine did, you know, nuked off the face of the planet, while in tandem now in the building there are interfaith stuff. So
he does. Yes.
Anthony's giving his pitch right now to be in the to be the future narrator of all of the next films.
I would say, but I would have liked to see the team out still talking to the
Kennedy,
going about in the rounds, talking to people, right? Like it's like Nick saying, it's hard to play in this world where you're trying to appease everybody.
Yeah.
What I think, I don't know what all their plans for the future are, but what I think would be cool would be some sort of monthly like subscription service where you get access to these almost like high quality how-to videos that they put out. Like, how do you read the notation for Gregorian chant? You know, because I have no idea.
Do you know how niche that is, though?
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying it could be anything to do with traditional Catholicism.
Yeah, like a monthly thing. So it's always changing. It's always going along. Yeah. That'd actually be good, I think.
Like right before Advent, they come out with a video of, you know, the traditional Advent traditions, but it's something produced high quality. Because, I mean, there's lots of places online, you know, that
yes,
that will have shows that talk about this. But like, I mean, we've done shows on Advent practices, but we don't have the means to make a high quality video showing it.
We don't have the means to do what we're doing now. We're somehow
we do. By the way, we've had over $250 donated for the camera setup since we started.
Get out of here, really?
Since we started this video.
I think
that's gonna be awesome. Hey, like, Daniel, I could use some advice on that, because I want to do man on the street interviews. So maybe we could talk. Maybe you could give me some tips.
I think a good like round table, because he's asking like who would
want. Yeah, that's what I want to know. What do you think would be a good round table?
I think that like somebody from generally every kind of angle. So as an example, like the Harrisons for like daily liturgical living, Matthew Pleasy for fasting stuff. I'm not
Kennedy
trying to
for masculinity stuff.
Kennedy for masculinity. Tim Flanders for honestly, when it comes to like genuine charity and discussions and like how to act, like practical living and action. Yeah. Not to like, I guess, plug myself, but like the necessity of like Thomism and rich theology and academics, you know, if you will, into the discussion, or someone better than me. There's plenty of people better than me, but just the point of like the academic angle being brought into it, because that's what I focus in on. Humor with you guys, like how to live just like a blue collar average Catholic life but enjoy these types of stuff. Taylor Marshall when it comes to a dad with the webcam, you know, and all kinds of stuff. So
I think
but like a mix of people you know well and a mix of people.
Well, I think
that
you gotta have a mix of people that disagree. You gotta have a mix of people who disagree too.
Well, that's like, called emotion. That's called emotion.
Well,
because like I think you can have like people who disagree, but that like are still somewhat under the same general umbrella, if you will. So like an institute priest, a society priest, and a fraternity priest all being on like a 3-person round table would actually be pretty epic just to see. Like, but not someone where it's just like you couldn't have my SSPX is the literal devil next to an SSPX priest. Like that would just be a snooze fest slash blow up, you know.
Why Thursday? Have you done that? I haven't seen that.
Daniel,
here's what I would say. I would say you gotta get a guy like Nicholas up against who would you think would opposes your position?
Pine Sap.
Nah, I don't like him. No, I'm kidding. I like him.
he's a bit meme-ish for
all right.
He's a bit mean.
Regardless, what I would say is whoever you get to go up against each other, because I spoke to somebody earlier about this, but I don't want to blow their spot. What we said was
Mike Lewis.
You get these people that oppose sides, and you go to mass together first. Like, you get on your knees, you go to mass together first.
You commune together. Yeah, exactly.
Commune together as brothers, then go have a beer and record the conversation of them disagreeing after they just sat with Jesus, right? Like,
with the priest in a corner for confessions, just in case.
But it has to be in a spirit of love and not just, hey, I want to win this argument. But it has to be a way to try to see each other's position, but also stand your ground on it, things like that, right?
I think Paul's correct. We could do something chill like myself versus Brother Peter Diamond.
Would you debate him?
Honestly, I feel like he's too much of a, like, not, like, he doesn't come, I think, at it with the best intentions. Like, when you look at every debate he does, he's the type of person that spits out like 50 different points.
Yeah, he just rattles off things. Look at this. Look what changed after this. I'm not crazy about it. My ears are burning. Mike, you should come to the round table. That would actually be really funny. We'll get Mike at the round table. What's funny is we're pointing out how normie the people
are. Actually, you know what? Nick and Christian. That would probably be good.
That'd be good because we're both Thomas, and mm-hmm. as long as you keep, like, whether it's Mass of Ages or wherever, as long as you keep the format just like simple, like one simple question that doesn't lead off into just La La Land. Like, you can't do something like, is the SSPX good? Like, that's so broad. You know what I'm saying? You have to make specific.
I do want to point this out. So Mike Lewis is in here, and I watched some of Mike Lewis's critiques, and the funniest thing is, like, all the people we're saying are like normies. He's like, he posts Scott Hahn's pictures. Like, I'm putting this up without comment. There was like a couple of people in it where he was just like in Mike's world, like the people we consider normie are too far right. It is a difficult thing to try to have these conversations and not make people upset. So, Mike says, I heard Quas bites dirty. What does he say? I heard Quas bites dirty, bites and scratch.
Kwasniewski.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, who's Kwas?
Right, but Jeremiah, I was trying not to tell everybody you and I talked, okay?
It's this thing called anonymity.
I was trying not to blow your spot. I didn't want to reveal.
We only blow someone's spot once or twice an episode, not three times.
But Jeremiah blew his own conversation. He blew his own spot. So, all right. Now, yes. So Jeremiah and I spoke about this earlier, right? So Jeremiah and I had about an hour to an hour and a half conversation today. And a lot of it was about the fact that talking about like getting caught in bubbles and things like that. And, you know, because of certain guests we've had on our show, he thinks we're attracting a very specific audience. And I clearly disagree with Jeremiah. But I also think there's a place where him and I should be able to go to mass, a beer together, and hammer out those disagreements, right? And leave as brothers still. It's like, okay, we come from a very different point of view. So he's like, well, you know, you keep having these trads on. I'm like, well, Jeremiah, I lean trad. Like, of course I'm going to have those people on, you know, where I think it's his idea is, look, let's get away from even debating each other and let's collaborate together. Like, let's pick something that is going to be good for the church and maybe work towards a common goal of doing something positive for the church together instead of having, you know, have this guest on so I interview him about this topic kind of thing is what he was saying, which I think is a really good idea.
It's commendable. It is one of those things where it's just like, until we get like, you know, I would just say a more saner time. Unfortunately, it's just not going to happen. I would say at least in like a good concrete way, maybe in the future. But I am wondering about this question where it was saying how did you, Anthony and Jeremiah get like 1 to 2 hours to talk? Like how is that possible with your guys' schedule?
Forget schedule. It was on my ride home, but it was me and him talking over each other is the issue. Like Jeremiah,
Anthony was hiding from the, from the dashboard camera.
Jeremiah chat boy. You think I'm talkative? That guy, it's like to get it, get a word, and I'm like, wait, let me jump in here. It's pretty
funny. Jeremiah once spent 45 minutes telling me how to set up my lights. I didn't know lights could be that complex, but Jeremiah, people have said I have one of the better lighting setups, so thank you.
Yeah, your lighting setup's pretty epic.
It's a weird place to be for, oh my goodness.
Hey, what's up, Cameron?
You're full of it, first off, and I don't even know if this is really you. This is Thursday.
I bet Dan texted him and was like, yo, get over here.
I don't believe it's Cameron.
Wait, hold on. Anthony's got to go back to apologizing now.
Don't listen to the beginning of the review, Cameron. It's where I rant about how you've been blowing us off for a year. Anyway, yeah,
it hasn't been him. Jake's been blowing us off on behalf of Cameron, so maybe it's all Jake Tate's.
Maybe fault. Cameron was never asked. You're saying Jake never even
told. He says
Cameron.
I've been here the whole time.
I think this might fall to Jake.
Cameron, I'll message you later. I'd love to have you like back on the show to finish our mini trilogy of interviews.
Jake's fault. Oh man. So we're in a weird position, right? Because so Jeremiah, what I was talking about, like I'm friends with Jeremiah. I'm friends with Tim Flanders. I'm friends with Nicholas Cavazos. I'm friends with Kennedy Hall. I'm friends with Tim Gordon. I'm friends with Taylor Marshall. It's a weird spot to be in because there's tension between some of these guys. Yes. So
thank you for the sponsorship tonight, Jeremiah. Thank you so much.
So Jeremiah called me tonight because he was like, dude, you made that commercial and this thing. He's like, I'm the MC at the conference. So I said, look, if I knew Jeremiah was speaking there, out of my friendship with him, I wouldn't have made the commercial, you know.
But you would have thought about not doing.
Would have thought about it, but I don't.
But after that voicemail that we got, are you really sorry?
That voicemail was hilarious.
If you're just tuning in, Cameron, when this episode is done, just go back to the beginning of this episode, like 20 minutes in, and listen to this voicemail.
How about we get a round table, Cameron, Daniel, Jeremiah, because they're all coming from a similar perspective. Then get Nicholas. Who would you want on your side of the squad, Nick?
We should address this because this is actually pretty cool.
I jumped the gun too hard. I explained more when I was coming from, and you're No, Pinesap, you're cool, dude. I was just kidding. When I you can be at the round table, all right? We'll let you in on the round table.
We'll let you in. Come in.
we'll let you join the club. Don't worry about it.
what I would like to see, and this is just like for the future. Have Father Albert. He's a traditional Dominican that works with the society on. He is a scholar, a scholastic, and absolutely hilarious, down-to-earth guy. He would be a phenomenal person to have in any engagement.
Who's that? Who's that?
Father Albert Kilo. He's been on the Fatima Center for forever. Everyone just type in like Father Albert into YouTube search engine, you'll find him. But he is dogmatic.
Do you think he would sit at a round table like this? That's what I'm curious about, 100%, right?
100%. He's been writing articles on these issues since before literally everybody we just listed was born.
Honestly, I'll tell you what would be a good conversation. Cameron, Daniel, and Jeremiah with Tim Flanders, you and me, and Rob. Like to sit down with us.
Love
and
just, how I'm the after that. Thought.
I do think Christian Mario.
I meant our channel. I knew I had to say your name, but I meant our channel, right?
Yeah,
but
I know what you meant.
because I think you need to have good faith where you know everybody's coming at it from a place of love and charity and things like that. But there could be a serious disagreement where we could say, hey, look, this is because look, Nick, you and I would say, like, guys, there's like we could play the hermeneutic of continuity game, but like, come on, man, like this
thing doesn't work. Pin the tail on the horse.
It's just hard to play that game when no, like, because it was great when Benedict was going for it. It was like, okay, let's try to make sense of this. But clearly, they don't want that conversation anymore. So I don't know where we go from here. Because
like when Father James Martin works as the communications head for the Vatican. You can't be like, oh yeah, he just does the system doesn't have the internet. They just don't know who he is. Like games like that are just not helpful.
I just don't know what to do because look, I'm in a position where I want to be a faithful Catholic. Like I don't want to I want to be a faithful Catholic, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I think a lot of
we're trying to figure out what that even really means.
Yeah, like a lot of us are trying to figure out what that means. So what the heck does that mean nowadays? Because it's like so many things that are coming from our fathers are contradicting things that came from before. And I think there's a place to have a conversation about it where it's just like, okay, well, what do we do here? Your roundtable would be worth organizing, and ticket price and cost for pay-per-view. It would have to be in person. That's the thing. So we'd have to figure out how to do it in person. I don't think we should do it online and on somebody's channel like that. I think it should be an in-person conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Something where you could like have a bunch of people who disagree actually like come and sit in the audience. And so they talk, they chat.
That would be pretty cool. And have a Q&A segment, maybe.
Exactly.
It could even be done on an entirely separate brand new channel that's never monetized. So it's not
one person getting the, you know, and then each channel or each
and that channel can actually be called Catholics in Communion, because it'll make more sense.
That would actually be, dude, this is not a bad idea.
That's a good idea.
that's the real Catholics in Communion.
Catholics in Communion that disagree, because look, I think every single person we're talking about right now considers themselves Catholic, right? What's the topic for the roundtable? You guys, we don't know yet. Well, that's what we're trying to figure that out. Where it's people that I'd suggest long straight table. we're talking maybe the hermeneutic of continuity would be a good conversation.
Like, I'm sleepy.
I can't believe Matt Gasper's those co-sleeping. Yes. We're going inside jokes, inside Avoiding Babylon here.
Oh man!
But yeah. It's worth exploring if somebody could put it together. I mean, I can't. I'm a construction worker from New York, but if anybody's down for it, I'm down.
You have all the time to get on the phone.
Wait, I have time on the phone, but I don't have time to go places. Opposing ideas, bringing up concerns about each other's position.
The first topic could actually be a conversation about how do we properly communicate with each other when we do have disagreements, like specifically between that group? Because if there's going to be more videos or, you know, more conversations, then the first conversation should be how do we actually converse respectfully and charitably?
And that would be epic, because we're going to go away disagreeing on a myriad of issues, most likely,
right?
But at least if we can come away with it with at least two things: one, understanding each other better, but then two, actually being able to like set some type of ground rule, especially as content creators, where we're not just making exposed videos about each other talking past each other. Something where it's like, hey, look, we were all in this debate, we were all in this round table, I know the guy personally, I disagree with him, I can, like on my show the other day, like charitably critique Tim, but I like put it out there, hey, this is a good guy, I've met him, I've talked to him, I have a relationship with him, he's a good guy.
Especially because doing this now for almost 2 years, like actually it is 2 years now, you realize that what other people think are attack videos, like it's easy to just say something that's on your mind and then it comes off as an attack and you really never meant it that way.
100%. It's like, that's why with my video it's kind of sad, like I'm making this academic critique of the new mask going like page by page through a book. But then my video on Tim Flanders, where it's like a beef, but a non-beef video where I'm not attacking him at all, gets way more views than an academic thing that I'm passionate about. And that's the sad thing.
It's so strange because like it's funny when we have different people. it's so strange when you have different, when we have different people on, because when we talked to Trent Horn, I caught crap from people telling me that I was kissing his ass. And that's just not what this channel does, right? We don't come in and argue with people. Like, I don't have... So it comes off as, like, me just being friendly with somebody. People are like, oh, dude, you're kissing his ass. That is not what I was doing with Trent Horn. I was trying to develop a friendship. When I have Matt Fratt on, I'm trying to develop a friendship. I'm trying to have people on to develop a friendship. Then when I have Taylor Marshall on, same thing. Like, it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. I'm trying to build communion and friendships with everybody I have on. And it's like, if you talk to this person, you're out of our club. If you talk to this person, you're out of our club. And that's what I want to get away from. What I know that bothers you, Nick, but I don't want to make light of our differences either. I just want to have...
Because they are important.
They are important.
But exactly. I know that Nick, you're like, dude, you can't just pretend everything's okay. I don't want to just pretend everything's okay, but I want to have conversations with all these people and still Mike, you got a nerve. this is too much.
No, I agree with you though, Anthony. It's like we don't get rid of issues. There's real issues where we're actually debating. But the thing is like if we can just see each other's humanity and see each other as dudes, like if we're all actually coming at it with good faith, then we should all be able to just at least on a human level get along to where if we do critique each other in their videos, we're like, hey, look, we debated back in this round table. It's all good. No issues with them. Love to chat. Come on the show. Let's hash it out and stuff like that. That's cool. You know, I don't want us to like fall into either extreme where it's like on the one hand, let's never talk. It's only, you know, through academic writing back and forth. And then on the other end, it's just like, hey, let's just do, you know, everything's fine
for the sake of dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. And so
you don't want to do dialogue for the sake of that. Right. So, all right. So even when we had Redeem Zoomer on, right, never at any point. I tried very hard never to just make it like you're totally cool as Redeem Zoomer. Like we were discussing issues of theology and it's like, okay, dude, you're a Protestant, but do you like, I was trying to explain the Catholic position from a place. Maybe he didn't hear it and things like that. Like just trying to have a conversation.
Or explain it in a way that hadn't been like, explain it in a conversation where that conversation was done in a way that he had not
experienced
before.
Yeah. So like
there's a conversation.
There's a conversation because I hate debates. I think debates are tedious. They're very hard to sit through. A lot of people just go in trying to hear their side tell the better side so that they can hear a better way to argue. Each other.
Yeah, it's just wanting
just one upping each other. Exactly. So, but conversations and disagreements, I think, are, and especially for men, like men are supposed to, it can even get tense at times. Like it could get tense and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're not friends with each other. You know, so, exactly. I mean, look, it's got to be done by a bigger platform than ours. We're still like the new kids on the block and we're still the children on the out of the group. But
well, one of you guys is a child,
but I would love to be part of any conversation that happens if I'm welcome. I mean, if you guys want to do it without us, I'm totally fine with that too, but Jeremiah, we'll talk again soon. Hopefully it's less than 2 hours next time because that boy can talk.
I think it's funny, a good idea overall. Yeah, like something, because like one thing I actually learned from Anthony a long time ago, I used to be this absolute timid snowflake back in the day. I just did not like confrontation at all and I was in my own bubble. But then like when I first got to know
Tim Flanders, it's
exactly. But then one thing actually Anthony said like a year and a half ago when I first met him, you were saying this in like some group chat and you just said something like, look, guys just need to sometimes just have fist fights with each other and then shake hands and be done with it. Just something
and
just like
have
that.
And have a beer after. Dude, that actually happened.
And that honestly changed my life. It really did.
I can't believe it. It's funny. Like when you say like some offhanded comment and it actually like somebody takes it into like, I did that with my sister, my little sister. I was like offhandedly was just like, have you ever considered religious life? And all of a sudden she goes on this deep.
You about the conversation you had with your sister, by the way.
Oh yeah. That's my older sister. Maybe that's for locals. So it sends her on this whole journey of, you know, discerning religious life and stuff. So, but when I was growing up, there were guys that I had conflict with and we were crap talking each other behind each other's back, and it eventually came to a fist fight. And this happened to me a few times. And so I mean I had a big mouth in school. I don't know what happened.
No.
I mean, I managed to get it under control somehow.
But no, yeah, shoot.
I'm kidding, Rob. Shooting my mouth off got me in trouble quite a few times. But what would happen is it would eventually come to a fist fight. We'd duke it out. And after the fight, we would shake hands and we'd be friends. It was a weird thing. Like after the fight was over, it was like, all right, we got our adrenaline off on each other.
It's not weird. That's just guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see a difference
Anthony
in the conversation.
Is forgetting to mention that.
He can mediate. I'm trying, Tyler.
Which is exactly what he did today on this show and prior to this show.
trying to insert myself into every conversation. I'm pretty good at it, though. I'm learning.
I do think a trad versus normie locker boxing show would do numbers.
I want to see this. I want to see Anthony's pilgrimage to the Vatican. I want to see Anthony talk to Pope Francis. That I would pay
money. You know what would be funny? Those grandmas on A Mess of the Ages would walk way further than he would.
No, but let me tell you something, though. But it might be better for a man to confront Francis and be like, stop it. Like, what are you doing?
Stop it.
You know, that's just gay. Like, knock it off.
Is that what you would do?
Knock it off. What are you doing to us? Give us back our liturgy. He doesn't need some soft grandma going over there. He needs to listen.
He's knock Italian by ancestry, so he should get it, right?
Mike says, gotta run. You can speak freely now. I do think Mike is pretty bonkers in a lot of his takes, but I still, him and I have always just not any ad hominem attacks on one another. So,
yeah, let's get some Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi Catholics on.
So, okay, so the documentary, let's get back to that.
45 minutes later.
Any final critique on the documentary? Because I do still would think that future projects for them should be geared more towards bringing young men in.
Yeah, fully agree.
I would say well, you go for
Rob. No, you go. It's your show.
I would say I would definitely recommend the whole trilogy to anyone. There's nothing in any of it that would prevent me from recommending it highly. I just did not enjoy this one as much as I maybe would have if it was done differently, but I'm not the target audience. So, you know, big whoop, yeah. It doesn't matter. Overall, great job. And I hope they continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Hope. We know who runs this show, y'all.
Rob is the one pulling all the strings over here.
Sure. I would say, yeah, like, so, yeah, no, so I'd say, like, to Cameron.
Oh, say, Enoch's is the third one was the weakest in the. Enoch thinks the third one. See, I
generally agree with that. Personally.
I would agree with it. I would say that I would probably put, for me, I would arrange two, then one, then three.
That you like two life. Better than one?
Well, yeah, but it's because I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd. That's why. Like that scene where they just like show how the mass was gutted is just so powerful.
Not just dude, my favorite part of part two is going through the music, Novus Ordo hymns, yep. And showing how their nursery rhymes and, you know, pop. So that was, and I saw they caught a lot of flack for that, but that was the highlight of it.
That's literally what's going on. Don't shoot the messenger.
I was going to say, I have not, none of the Novus Ordo parishes I have regularly attended throughout my life have not at some point used the My Little Pony Gloria. That's just a fact.
I'm really glad everybody's saying this because I think the reason two was maybe my order goes 1-3-2 is because I knew all that stuff from two already. I think that's why. I think it just kind of like it was like, all right, I know all this.
I think the visual of it.
It did help. I think it red pills more people. I think that's the thing. Like if this is a like for a broader audience, two red pills people. Like one wakes people up to like, hey, this is actually really pretty. Like I've never seen anything like this. I thought that this was just the mass I go to on Sunday, but in Latin. And then two red pills people. Whereas three is more of a concluding. Here are all these cool stories and testimonies. But
that's a fair point, Daniel. Like I get that's what you were going for, right? So one was really. My thing is that I don't know if you're marketing it. Like, how do you market this? Like, I don't know how you market this. It's not the marketing strategy shouldn't be going on Taylor Marshall and Tim Gordon and our show. Like, I don't know who you're marketing it to is the thing. Yeah. I think you're going to get the stratosphere is going to watch it no matter what. Right. But how do you bring it to the masses? Where episode one just kind of like took off, man. Episode one was just
the Kickstarter, the year Kickstarter leading up to it drove a lot of interest.
Yeah. It was hype.
It, was and it made a lot of people feel somewhat like the whole point of a Kickstarter is to kind of make you feel like you were partly responsible for it, which was really cool. But
yeah,
this is. Oh, wait. No. I meant to hit this. I personally know Novus Ordo folks that watched two and were absolutely shocked. Three guys I know started going to the traditional mass after documentary.
Exactly. I know many as well. That's the thing. I would be talking to people at like Novus Ordo faith formation. So I'll be asked sometimes to go and teach catechism and stuff. And I'll bring up something about the Latin mass. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Like you go to the Latin mass, tell me about it. And then I'll recommend the whole series, but I'll say like, check out episode two, especially because of like, you'll learn a lot from it. But,
that's a really good idea. Daniel, you should look into that.
Oh yeah. That'd be cool.
Cause I use formed all the time.
Yeah.
We don't know if it works, but he does use it. So
I've been going to sleep to an audio book that Pope Benedict wrote about the church fathers every night.
Their audiobooks, because they have audiobooks that you can't find on Audible or anywhere.
They're not on Audible.
And that three is part of the subscription.
You can get. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I go to sleep with the Summa playing because that's all you need.
Not surprised.
Can you memorize it already? What's wrong with you? Were you slacking?
I memorized it about 2 days after becoming Catholic. What can I say?
So you can get Michael D. O'Brien's books on audiobook on Formed, but I've been going to bed every night listening to Pope Benedict's audiobook on the Church Fathers. Really interesting.
What's the book called?
Oh man, I'd have to dig it up and find it. It's on my iPad. My iPad's upstairs. I'll text it to you though.
Okay. Yeah. But it just sounds interesting.
Yeah. You got to dig through the audiobooks and just flip through their audiobooks. They got a list of like 100, 150 of them that you can't get them on Audible, but they're in the Formed app. So that might be an interesting ploy to see if, but I don't know, would Novus Ordo parishes promote the destruction of their own liturgy?
I know some that would.
Schismatics.
Oh man.
I would say for my like advice and final like critique, if you will, first and foremost, like, yeah, I think all trads, regardless of like whether they, you know, loved this last film or not, should just like give a round of applause to both, like, you know, Cameron and Daniel, because it was like all three of them are phenomenal.
Oh yeah,
in their own way, like they're all phenomenal. And I remember I think a Catholic for maybe a year when the trailer or maybe like this Kickstarter or something started, and I remember just being so excited because it was the TLM that converted me, brought me in, and the TLM that sustained me today. That would be good. I think all these pieces of advice for like Formed shorts, for liturgical seasons, roundtables, those are all good. I do think that what my big advice would be is that as you guys continue to grow, you know, always remember, I would just say like the base, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
like at the end of the day, like you can try like market it, sure, to like the normie crowd, but never do it at the cost of like alienating the base. Like, you'll never please everybody, of course, but if you ever get to the point where it's just like, you know, hey, we've made again like so much stuff, but we've not even talked about Open Letter to Confused Catholics, Archbishop Lefebvre, you know, if we've not actually talked about like the history of traditionalism, it's just like if you don't even bring it, like, because I mean, again, like if you're just like on an objective level, trad or not trad, there's just no way that you do the history of the traditional movement any justice if you don't mention, hey, like, by the way, the guy carrying the load for the majority of the time and his society is still doing it today is Archbishop.
I'll tell you what I would love to see is the edits of like the bonus footage of the destruction of the churches, because even in the talk I gave at the Canceled Priest Conference, there's so much of the, like, as you're seeing Christianity spread, you're seeing the pagan temples being transformed into Christian cathedrals, right? And mm-hmm. what we're seeing is a reverse of that now. You're seeing Christian cathedrals being turned into pagan temples, essentially. They're turned into bars, and, you know, they had that one thing.
It's no beef, Daniel. It's no beef. It's no beef. I'm just passionate about the subject. It's no beef at all.
We didn't canonize them, and that's... No, I would say that's a look, that's a hard topic to make everybody happy on. If they would have went, I think
if they would have went too hard on Lefebvre, like focused on him too much, you would have gotten so much crap from this crowd. And if you don't focus on him enough, you're going to get crap from the society crowd. I don't think they villainized him in any way. I think they
I didn't think they villainized him at all. My point is not to trash them for anything. My point is just like, I think it's good to address it, if you will, in the sense of like a longer discussion more than just kind of a blip on the radar. Yeah. That's my only point.
If they really want to reach people on the Novus Ordo and kind of convince them that TLM is the way forward, I think they need to do a project on specifically on like Eucharistic reverence and piety. Yeah, I think that's how you reach so many people in the Novus Ordo.
That'd be good.
Do like a high quality video version of Bishop Schneider's Dominus Est.
Yeah.
Because I think like even my Novus Ordo priest loves that book by Schneider. He wants to get that book for everyone in our parish. But he's a Novus Ordo priest. He I don't know if he ever would say the TLM, but I think that's one inroad you can make in the Novus Ordo.
Yeah. Nick's been coming around. Remember when Nick was like, wouldn't even listen to us because he thought we were too trad?
Is this Nick from Twitter? That's he. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Him and I actually text almost every day.
Yeah, me too. I talk to him too. He's off Twitter for Lent, so he's like, what's going on? I'm missing out.
Yeah. He sends me a hot take of the day. I'm like, dude, just post that to Twitter.
He'll text me something that was like a conversation from 2 days ago on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, you're way behind.
He's the new Mark.
You're way behind in the conversation, bro. Get back on Twitter. Lent's almost over. I think overall, good job. I think they should have been a little stricter in the cutting room. Especially after the scenes in Africa. The scenes in Africa were very emotional, very beautiful. And just seeing how even this community in Africa, it was like it was their first exposure to the Latin Mass. They didn't even understand what was happening. They didn't have they were like, we don't even know what they're saying, but we love just seeing it shows that this isn't about language. It's about the beauty of the liturgy that is drawing people in, that you can go to a liturgy, not understand every single thing that's happening and still have your heart moved. And I think they do a really good job of that. But then after that scene, that was almost like the pinnacle. And then it kind of dips off in the pace of the film for a while. And then it picks right back up at the end with the whole Archbishop Sheen, Fulton Sheen clip and the bookend of the wedding of the girl who was a widow in episode one.
Yeah.
Want to know something funny? Well, you know, Anti texted you, but so my 5-year-old watched it with me, and it was during the second half, which, as I've said, I found not as entertaining, but I knew most of that. He halfway through, he goes, I like this part better. I'm like, really? Why? He goes, well, they're speaking English, so I can understand them. 5-year-old. <Dang. laughs> They're speaking English. Oh, but he, when that young African child was on, he did ask me what he was saying, and I told him that he wanted to be a priest. And he got a very contemplative look about him, which I wonder what's going on in his head.
What's going on in that noggin?
That's the other thing, though. So, like we've talked about this before, right? Your kids have a vocation. Like, where do they go to get formed, right? I mean, I know what Nick will say, but if you're like, especially with all this with Traditionis Custodia, the thing is, I really think after Francis is gone, you know, I'm not wishing that happens fast or anything, but I think after Francis goes, I think a lot of these tensions are going to be resolved. I just have faith.
Yeah, it might be like in 2 years we're going on a stream and there's just literally nothing to talk about because everything's just so chill and back to normal.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Or we'll be in prison camps.
That's true.
Yeah, I just think a lot of the things we're struggling with are going to be solved definitely within our lifetimes. Like, people think like, oh no, it's 100 years before the church is rebuilt. Nah, I think things are so bad that God has to intervene somehow. Like, it just has to. Like, he won't leave us orphans forever.
Another concern I have about this episode in particular is, once Francis is gone, will this episode have as much meaning as it does now? Because so much of it was about about the pilgrimage to Rome to talk with Francis about Francis's actions. Like,
well, yeah, maybe it will if you get a faithful. I don't mean to say that.
I know.
If you get a trad pope after and they do get it returned, it might, right? It might actually have more meaning than it does. Because it kind of left off in a way where it's like, oh, we did this pilgrimage. We gave the letters to Francis. And so when they go give the letters to Francis, Francis is like, we. He didn't understand a word that woman said to him.
No.
There was no translator there. He doesn't speak French. So it just, you know, she was talking, but I don't know if he even understood what she said. Then she hands a bag of letters to him. I don't know if, she, you know, I look, maybe by some miracle, Francis will see the documentary and it'll appear to him as a love letter and it'll strike his heart. But judging from past behavior, I don't see it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you literally never know. You never know.
Thursday making me do Zen.
Yeah, Margo said something about Zen that I had to hide from the comments.
When you say he spoke French to her, I mean, it sounded like he was just.
I don't know if she did though.
Like, it sounded like he might know like a phrase in French, but I don't know Francis to speak French. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but.
I don't know you to speak English, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. This is a good one. So.
our chat is like where all the outcasts of all the other chats come.
It's pretty funny who pops in our chat sometimes, right?
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
It's pretty funny. It's like all the influencers that everybody likes pop in our chat from time to time.
We're like the dive diner that all the line cooks from all the other restaurants go to when they get off.
I think that we have managed to situate ourselves in the middle of conversations we probably don't have any business being in.
You don't have any business being on this at all.
Like, I think it's just because
you two are like, honestly, like some of the most just real dudes. Like, what's you both that? Are dads, blue collar workers. And so it's just like, you can just sit down, laugh, have a beer, chat about this stuff. Whereas all the other ones, myself included, it's like, you know, mine, I'm like, okay, this is a lecture, you know, whatever that even means. But it's just like, here's a lecture. And then you look at all the other influencers and they come in from their angles. Whereas you guys are just chill. And I think that was what people like.
Wait, so I want to unblock him. Meathead Red?
Meathead Red. Unblocked.
Here's the thing, though. So far, everyone that has asked you to unblock them usually proves within about 5 minutes why you were right to block them in the first place.
That happened. Look, I'll give you a second chance. I'll give anybody a second chance.
Anthony's going to give Cameron a second chance to come on the show.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm still a little better.
I'll have Daniel like Cameron cheers on.
Yeah.
When
we first started, I really wanted to try to somehow incorporate that song into the theme, but I figured we'd be copyrighted all heck.
I didn't know if Mistress B watched our content. I mean, I sent her the Danielic Mystery episode, but she didn't respond. So I don't know if she watched it.
Is Mistress B an influencer?
She's a new convert.
She's a new convert, turned away from a former life that was pretty hectic. And she's trying to bring people into the church right now. So just give her
welcome.
Anthony is sensitive about the wife, rightfully so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I posted the thing about my wife peeing on me. And I like some people say things that like, I'm very sensitive about my wife. That's one thing. So, all right, you're unblocked. Not only that, I followed you back. Okay. So yeah, if I block you, just tell me in the chat. I'll unblock you. I don't care. It's usually not that deep. It's usually just, I'm having a mood or something.
it's his time of the month, guys.
I'm just in a mood. All right, so no local show tonight. We're gonna do something tomorrow night, though. We said, right?
Yeah. Do we know what?
We'll figure it out. To be determined.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Trivia, the 10,000 subscriber trivia episode.
Daniel's so sanguine. It's 100% me.
It's annoying. What's worse is my oldest child seems so much like Anthony.
Dude, you are cursed with a son like me, dude. I think it's amazing.
Yes, I don't. Tomorrow, does anyone know when this is?
This is, I think it's around April 11th, but yeah, early April.
Is it in Dallas again?
It's in Dallas, yeah. It's okay. In Dallas, I'm pretty sure, every year. So
probably,
it's
yeah.
In Dallas. Because it's owned by, it's hosted by a gentleman who lives in that large, a mass of a city.
Well, that isn't,
April 13th, okay.
Isn't one of the, is it grand nieces or something? Doesn't she live there?
That I don't know. Actually, Devin's in the chat. Devin, like, what's the gentleman's name who runs it? It's public knowledge. Wait, but I'm
that's
just
your known. Friend, Devin?
Yeah. By the way, everyone, Devin, he's converted back to the Roman Catholic Church and is actually staying
dude,
in politics.
Dude, he does a great faith. Trump impression.
No, he does.
He left us a voicemail during this show.
Oh, did he?
I didn't want to play it without reviewing it. Not that I don't trust you, Devin, but I usually just like to review him before I put him on air for everyone to listen to.
Are you going to look it up, Anthony?
Does GOT mean something other than Game of Thrones? It's so Guardians of Tradition, duh.
Quite frankly, what they're doing to me in the media is terrible. And Nicholas Cavazos, he's such a great guy. I mean, quite frankly, I can't even begin to tell you how
much of a good guy. That's not bad.
Devin's a good guy. He can just be a little hectic sometimes, but he's all good. It's all good
That's
now.
That's okay. So can Anthony.
They're both Italians. That's the issue.
Oh, listen, that is the issue.
You can't look. We never came on to trash Guardians of Tradition. We came on to critique it. It was never,
you know, give our honest thoughts.
We all loved the film, and Dan and Cameron, I loved it. I'd love to have you guys on and just chit chat about it. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it was just an honest critique of it. That, look, you're never going to please everybody, and I don't. And like I said early in the episode, like, this has been Cameron's and Daniel's life for 5 years now.
Exactly.
I mean, they risked a lot. They risked their livelihood.
Yeah, dude. Like, so for me to just come on and be like, this thing sucked, like, I would never do that. I'll make some jokes and about me being bitter that they just finally popped in our chat for the first time since we've been doing this. Oh, cool. Now we're cool enough to talk to. But
you had to get 10K. Then they
you hit 10,000 subs. Yeah, right. And suddenly, Cameron. All right, pops
they got
10,000
subs. We'll pop in their chat. It's okay. But yeah, no, it was really just maybe gearing for future projects. Like, I think that the need to attract young men is the most important thing in the church right now. Like, a lot of people don't understand what Tim Gordon's doing right now. Tim Gordon is going on Tim Pool's show Friday.
Oh,
he's going on the culture war, and he is about to debate Rollo Tomasi from the Red Pill Manosphere. I don't care what you people say about Tim Gordon. He is the only guy going up against these guys and saying, no, you're wrong. Patriarchy, Christian patriarchy, is the answer to all of the things that are going on here, because he makes it a point that, okay, so we bring people into the church. What are we bringing them into? Like, if you're not bringing them into a solid traditional marriage where these young men come in and they get married, if they don't have a solid traditional home life, it doesn't matter what they convert to. They're it's going to fall apart on them.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting show. That'd be an interesting show.
Go on, find me somebody that can debate better than Tim. Find me somebody that actually knows this topic better than Tim. I know people don't like him. I don't care. I'm telling you, he's the only one stepping up and actually having these conversations with these guys. He's the only one that they notice. Nobody else has even gotten on their radar.
Yeah.
The whole idea of Catholics saying Michael Knowles shouldn't platform Pearl. Are you people crazy? Do you know how many people listen to Pearl?
Exactly. No, Catholics should be debating in these contexts because we have the faith. We have the true faith. It doesn't make any sense to just walk away from it.
Like, how could you not bring Pearl on the show and chop at her ideas? Yeah, look, he is. Like, you could say whatever you want, but he is our...
That is kind of the person you need to fight these people, to be honest.
Top G.
Did I say Walsh? I meant Knowles.
I thought you said Knowles, but...
You said Knowles.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, like, for Michael Knowles to not bring Pearl on, because I saw a bunch of...
people saying, like, why are you platforming Pearl? Why are you what do you mean? This girl is influencing millions of young men. Like, bring her on, chop at her, like, break down how absurd her ideas are. Of he course did, you yeah. do that. And Michael Knowles made a few missteps because I think Michael Knowles is still trying to appeal to a certain demographic on the Daily Wire, where Tim Gordon doesn't have those. Tim Gordon is just going to say, no. Like, I don't like Tim will actually concede certain things to Pearl. Like, Pearl was like, Michael, how many women are even marriageable? Like, what percentage of women are even marriageable in this period of time? And the thing is, it's really not that many. Like, Michael should have given that to her because so many women are influenced by feminism, and Michael was kind of trying to make it like it's not their fault. And what, regardless of if it's their fault, so many women are so highly influenced by feminism that they don't think in terms of Catholic marriage, where marriage is permanent, right? So there's things that you do need to concede to that side, where Pearl gets a lot of things right when she's critiquing feminism and how toxic it is, but her solutions are garbage. They're just so bad. And Tim is very good at showing where those faults lie. So
it because basically, like, Pearl attacks it. It's like hedonism fighting hedonism. That's basically the solution. It's fire fighting fire. It doesn't actually do anything.
I think I've heard people call it Meninism, like, instead of feminism. It's Meninism.
It's fighting communism with libertarianism. Like, they're both errors.
Yeah, they're both rooted in liberalism in some form.
So Kennedy, that's true. But you're not fighting the manosphere, right? Like, you're not even in that realm, like, where Tim Gordon is having conversations with Pearl and with Rollo Tomasi. That's what we need. We need somebody from the Catholic side, because the only other guy doing it from a Christian perspective is an Eastern Orthodox guy, the guy from the Crucible, Andrew Wilson.
I do remember Kennedy making a video really early on to, like, the big rise of Andrew Tate, warning against a lot of his excesses.
Dude, they're every one of their.
Kennedy be great to have.
Every one of their ends are natural ends. It's go to the gym, get yourself tough so that you could sleep with women.
I know.
Like, that's their end. Their end is just bag women. That's your whole thing.
What Gordon's good at is kicking them out, like, rocking their worldview, right? But then Kennedy's there to pick them back up with what actual masculinity is. Like, they both serve purposes.
Yeah, tag team with each other.
Yeah, exactly. They could be a great tag team.
I don't like the idea that they're opposed in any way. Like, that's not at all it. It's fine. I'm just saying that Tim is in that sphere. Tim is
he's the one approaching that conversation,
and nobody else in our realm is. Like, Tim's going on Tim Pool's show. He's about to get into mainstream conversation where we're all fighting for the same audience. Like Jeremiah said that to me. He goes, dude, we're all fighting to get Patreon supporters from each other. It's like Tim's stepping into a realm that none of us have. I would love to have. That's why Rob and I will try to do more topical conversations on occasion, talk about a Joe Rogan conversation, things like that. Because you're hoping
politics
too. But, like, you're hoping to get people that don't normally check out Catholic content to come and check it out. And
say, we had 60,000 people see how Kevin James fasted 40 days for his daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Or the Russell Brand clip that, did
30,000.
I think it's a 40 something now, right? So we're talking about, Andrew Wilson is on the whatever podcast all the time and stuff like that. Yeah, he's very good, but he's coming from an Eastern Orthodox perspective. I want Catholics in this conversation. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not the guy to do it. I'm not the patriarchy guy. I'm trying to do comedy. Like, that's honestly what we're trying. We're trying to be funny and build friendships and stuff.
Restore trivia now. Go back to your roots.
Yeah. So, all right, man, we'll wrap this up. Almost 2 hours. Wow. That flew by. It was a fun show.
It did. We talked about a lot.
Yeah. It wasn't just the documentary, but
there was 607 people watching right now too.
600 people watching. People are really checking us out on Twitter now. It's funny.
Over more than half of the people are on Twitter right now. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So, all right. Funny. So we'll do a show tomorrow night. So everybody, just my daughter makes her confirmation tomorrow.
I'm going to talk to my bishop tomorrow.
Hey.
Oh.
Like, have you checked out our channel?
I'm going to ask him if he saw the Mass of the Ages documentary.
Dude.
Because he's confirming my daughter at a tradition at a Latin Mass parish.
Hmm.
Hey, that's cool.
So we'll see. I'll ask him if he saw the documentary. I'm going to ask him for not following Traditionis. And
you're going to thank him, you mean?
Yeah, I'm going to thank him for not enforcing Traditionis.
It's too bad you didn't have that camera now, because, like, I know it gets a little bit more complicated with minors, but asking confirmation candidates about what they know about the faith would be a good show too.
Yeah.
It is not Cardinal Dolan, but Cardinal Dolan did traditional confirmations in my diocese last year, which is weird. Yes.
What did you say?
Cardinal Dolan came to my parish and confirmed my daughter in the traditional rite last year.
I've heard it all. I've heard that rapture.
Is that not weird? Is that not, honestly, is that not strange?
That is pretty bizarre, not going to lie. But,
yeah. I do go to Mass at Holy Innocents on occasion. That's not my diocese. So Holy Innocents is, I will go for special occasions because it's a far ride. It's an hour and 10 minute ride. So we're going for Easter Vigil. I'll be there for Easter Vigil. I always go for midnight Mass at Christmas. And then if we're doing something in the city, we'll always make a point to go. I probably go to Holy Innocents about 5 times a year, but for the most part, I'm on Long Island. So I'm typically on Long Island. I went to an SSPX chapel last week, which made Nicholas very happy.
Based Anthony moment.
So my friend Joe Boca. All right.
Come on, miss Joe. Start.
Yeah, I miss Joe. I talk to him a lot now. I see. Oh, I won't say where I saw him. He'll be mad. But
Oh, no.
I saw him at a diocesan mass.
Oh, it's still TLM.
It's still traditional.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the traditional.
Like, Nova
I worked until 4 a.m. I couldn't wake up for the 9 a.m. this morning.
Oh, brother.
He's okay. He's one of my favorite people to see at Mass. I get so excited when I see him, but it's like, I'm not gonna divulge what Joe's up to, other than that I see him on occasion. That's all. We talk regularly. So he's still one of my favorite people. So, all right, guys, we are going to wrap this up. We will
shut up Thursday.
Rob's replying to Twitter DMs. Oh, man. All right, Nick, you are the best, man. Thank you for coming on with us every single time we ask. You're going to come with us tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We don't know what we're talking about yet tomorrow. We'll figure something out. We'll announce it later.
Hopefully we have more voicemails to play.
A
279-73 avoid, everyone.
279-73 avoid. So that's what we'll do. Maybe we'll catch up on some of the things that are hanging out there still. So 279-73 avoid if you want to leave a voicemail. Go leave a review on Apple podcasts and trash us. Make fun of us, say whatever you want about us. Just make sure you leave 5 stars and we'll read your review on air. We have a few that we haven't read yet. We'll catch up on some old ones.
If you do it tonight, we won't. Apple won't approve it by tomorrow, so it will be later, but
yeah, we'll catch up on the ones that are already posted if you haven't left one yet. And we got some other stuff that we got to clean up too. We'll do a cleanup show tomorrow. We'll pick a few news stories, and our news stories with Nick always do well, so we'll make those some clips. So all right, guys, happy Wednesday. We'll see you.